Hey guys, it's your boy Pat, Johnny Bravo.
What up, what up?
Back at you with the next episode of the Hollowdown Cigar Lounge. This is episode number
three.
So,
you know, I gotta say, we're doing pretty good. We did one last year. We're on three year. Right now.
Last year.
We're on three right now.
We're on three.
We're doing pretty good.
Pretty good. So, full disclosure, we did much better time between, much better job at recording time between episode two and three. So by the time I actually get it back and edit all this, you'll have a good couple weeks between the two, which I think is probably a good job. Yeah. So the first one was a month, this will have a couple weeks between this one. I'm good with that.
I like it.
So, this was spur of the moment. So, the guy that I think's hopefully going to come on the next that I mentioned that I thought would be here today, that's Axel. This was a spur of the moment. Hey, we can make this work. Let's do it. So unfortunately, I didn't even get a chance to hook up with him, but we will. And then I still got Woot coming up on that's the hour drive. That one's going to take me a minute to get because we got to add 2.5 hours of extra time that we usually don't have.
And planning accordingly.
Just the planning accordingly. So anyway, on to cigar business today. So I told y'all that this time I had a very special cigar that I was going to pull out. And I'll preface this. There's extra lighting going on right now because it is literally in the middle of the night. Like, we're talking like midnight because that's when we were able to link up. Literally. It is stupid dark outside. There's no moonlight. I have nothing. I have lights everywhere. So
if we're squinting, that's why.
If we end up squinting, trying to let y'all see us while I actually can, you know, actually record. So anyway, I caught myself kind of.
Yeah. So we might not have vision, but.
We might not have vision after this. So these are, there are different sizes because the last two that I have, because when I got these, I just got a bunch of random sizes. This one is not on Cigars International, so I do not have a headline to give you or
nothing at all.
Nothing.
Wow.
So, let's see. I think I'll probably be able to show this on my camera. This is, I think that'll focus well enough in between these lights. I think. Anyway, so this is out of the Cayman Islands, Grand Cayman. The smokehouse is Casa del Habano. So this cigar that he labels it as is Flor de Valerio. I'm gonna try again. Let's see if this will. I think you should probably be able to see that decently enough. So he unfortunately is a different sizes. So I don't know if you want the big one or the small one in this case.
I don't.
That's all I got. So, even though smoking a cigar doesn't do a whole lot for you, still got some flavor in there. So, that one is a little bit milder than this one. I'm talking like, maybe like a point. Just a different wrapper.
Smells good.
So, definitely going to want to use a punch on that one. And I should be able to still do a V-cutter on this one. Out of my personal favorite cigar lines, wow, I just countried the hell out of that. These are one of my top favorites. I actually have a picture that I took with the guy that rolls these. And if I can remember to do so, I'll put that picture up for you. So far, I've been good at remembering to put stuff up that I think I'm going to put up in the video.
Oh, good.
Proud of myself a little bit. Some point I'm going to watch a video later and be like, hey, I'm going to put this up for you. And there's nothing there.
It'll be over here. Somewhere.
Somewhere.
Just look.
So anyway, I'll put it up because it's in my vacation folder. I want to say 2018 or 2019, something. I think. I took a picture of him. Anyway. So, really cool guy. Obviously, our conversations were limited because I don't speak fluent Spanish.
No habla inglés.
A little bit. I'm going to have to do it just a little bit more. And then here's a small, so you may want to do that punch cutter. Which, I talked about it. We haven't done one yet on the show, but this cutter, I talked about it in the first episode. But at the very, switch over here, the very end of it right here is that punch cutter. Some of them have your own punch. It's literally just a cylindrical disc, so you can push it in. And as long as you center it up good and center, nice steady twist in so you don't completely shatter your wrapper.
Oh wow.
And there's your hole.
Showing me a new trick, huh?
So, and then once you put it back in here, of course it pushes it out. Now you have some punch cutters. I've got a cheap one somewhere that's really good for travel, or if you got to put in your pocket a place that you can't have like metal. Mm-hmm. They kind of look like, I don't know, like this little button little thing. Mm-hmm. You just pop it up, same concept. They're real simple. So I believe I mentioned in the first one that the Durastate factory smokes, one of my good budget lines. Mm-hmm. That they only have a single cap, so I'll always punch those because this V-cutter will rip that cap off.
Gotcha.
They're just not deep enough. Or if it's one that's just real small in diameter, usually right. I'll just punch it. Something like that. But, light these puppies up. So this is interesting. Toasting. I had a buddy that asked me why I toast cigars. And I've always done a decent job of explaining it, but maybe not have done the best job of explaining why I toast cigars. And then somebody showed me like a 1 minute video, I think, of Ron White explaining why he toasts cigars. And it was on Joe Rogan's podcast, I believe it was. And one, you toast a cigar, it lightens up the end of it, gets it started, right?
Right.
But the way, you know, kind of hold it off to the edge, right? You don't want to just stick this mm-hmm. up in there. Mm-hmm. So the reason if you're a match lighter, you can do that. You can put it right up close because it's got a small flame. Mm-hmm. If you do that on a torch, you're going to get the heat from that torch all the way up here, mm-hmm. and you're going to be tasting ash the whole time. It gets too hot too quick.
Right, right.
So, the same reason, it's kind of a rule of thumb, you know, a puff every 30 seconds. Now, you got to fluctuate based on how big or small or thick your cigar is, but kind of give you, you know, you don't want to start hitting 5, 6, 7 times a minute. It's right. just going to cook too much.
Right.
It's going to be way too hot.
It's too hot, right, yeah, yep.
So, somebody asked me that, so it's a really simple explanation. You toast it to get it good and started so it's an even burn. Because, you know, most of the time, this one lit very well for me.
Uh-huh.
Partially because they're a little bit drier.
Yeah, yeah.
But if I toast it, hit that one quick light it up. Sometimes I got to get a couple puffs or some of my Gordos, I may have to rotate it a quarter turn a couple times. But you kind of just want to get one or two puffs on the end, gets going. So you toast it to kind of get a...
I think, too, what I've noticed, even, too, is like you can't toast it too much because then there's a potential of burning one side of the front of the cigar.
Yep.
And then it doesn't burn even.
Yep. And then you get down the middle and you catch yourself having to relight to fix
right.
it.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, which yeah. can happen sometimes yeah. on its yeah. own, but yeah. Yeah. if you're the cause, it's just annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but, and that's why my Gordo's like, because they're just a bigger ring, you know, sometimes I can't just do a single pop. I'll do a little pop and rotate it. Yeah. Try to make things somewhat level. So,
I feel like...
What do you think?
It doesn't have as much flavor as the ones that we've smoked before.
These are a little bit... They look dark, but they are milder.
But they are... But it's very mild. It's very easy to smoke. And I enjoy it. I like it. I feel like the darker ones we've smoked, they have a lot more flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think just because going down maybe a little is why I can't taste as much.
It's fair.
But so it's still good, though. I still like it. So, I've had a cigar one time, not to cut you off. I've had a cigar one time. I couldn't even finish it. It was so bad. I don't even know what it was, but like, I literally just could not. I couldn't keep doing it. I just stopped it. Because
it was too dark? Or just no flavor?
Just the flavor in general was just not good to me.
You have something my dad used to say growing up, and I probably appreciate it more now in general in life, is that the middle ground is your best value point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he always just made it simple. He used to say that, you know, there's a place that you start with quality, mm-hmm. and over here you start with price. And the point that the middle ground to meet is your best.
Right.
And can use that in almost every industry in the world, because you go to a point that you've got real cheap quality, mm-hmm. and then you've got high price for the name.
Mm-hmm.
So you come up the quality scale, but drop to you're not paying for the name as much. Usually falls in that good point.
Yeah.
Now you'll have good stuff up here, but you're also paying more. It's overpriced
because of the name. Exactly. Yeah.
So there's some cigars that priced very well, but unfortunately, are priced very well for a reason.
But I also think,
and don't have that flavor.
The saying you get what you pay for is still true, though. I mean,
it's still true.
If you think of like clothing brands out there, there's a reason a select few are at the top always. When it comes to just like go to Academy or something like that, right?
Right.
There's those certain clothing brands that are always going to be at the top. Now you can go and get the cheaper brand, which is a mock version of it, but does it last as long? Does it feel as good? Does it look as good? So you kind of pay for quality.
You do.
You know, you pay. You get what you pay for.
Yes, you do. And I don't remember. I don't remember exactly how much these were. I want to say they were like maybe around $8 a stick, something like that. I think, which is
very easy smoke.
Very easy smoke.
Oh yeah.
The which I get above $10 a stick. There's some very good cigars more than $10 a stick, but I usually won't cross that line just because I know that I have a long list of things that are high dollar that I can get for less than $8 a stick. That one exception is, unfortunately, I don't have any of these. Probably after I finish my current splurge case, which we will do on here in an upcoming episode at some point before I get rid of them. It's not a super splurge. Still a splurge. Like $140 a case, roughly. Cheaper than those Brickhouse we talked about last week. Still really good. I won't preface too much because there's some kind of cool history with that box.
Gotcha.
But Gran Havana is a cigar lounge in San Diego. One of my favorite cigar lounges. Fantastic cheesecake and Turkish coffee that they will not tell you what coffee is, give you the recipe. Fantastic. But they specifically paired it because of their flavors in most of their cigars.
That's pretty cool.
So theirs are about $30 a stick.
Holy moly.
So, yeah.
There was a cigar lounge.
Worth it, though.
Yeah.
And that's hard for me to own up to that. So they have some of those. We talked about the Fumas last time, right?
Yeah.
They have the seconds that you can go in there, and they're like $8 a stick. And so I'll usually grab a few of those, but I'll still grab a couple of the 30s and save them.
There was a cigar lounge in Monroe where I went to college. And I think
it's like Carl Malone's.
I don't think so.
I forget the name. I know he's got one.
It was called Governors.
Oh, now I gotta look.
But I don't think it's open anymore. I think they closed it.
We'll have to look because I know he's got one, but I forget.
I don't remember if he was a partner in it or not.
Wait, I don't remember.
But
I could be way off base. I'm not sure.
Either way, they had most of their cigars in there were probably $8, $10, $12. I would go up to the $15 ones, but
it's kind of your cap.
Yeah, anything outside of that, I was like, do I really need to pay more for a cigar? Yeah. But it was a cool lounge. Like it was BYOB.
Nice.
Literally,
some of them are
literally. So like me and my buddies would literally bring a six pack and get a cigar and sit outside and smoke.
We've got a local one that
we have one here?
Yeah.
Really?
I've still not been to it. Maybe we should go check it out at some point.
Where? I didn't know we had one here.
I can see the front of the building, and now that you ask me, I'm going to have a massive brain fart because I haven't actually... I've been by, but I haven't been to it. I'll get back to you on that because now I'm having a massive brain fart.
Is it this side of the river or the other?
It's the other side of the river.
Okay.
It's in a good spot, though.
I literally did not know where you had a cigar lounge here.
It's going to bother me.
We'll have to go there one day, though.
It's going to hit me. Anyway, one of our mutual friends that I won't say name on here because I don't have permission to do so at the moment. It should told me about it, and now I just realized that I still never went. Anyway,
we'll go together. Yeah.
We will. So anyway, good smooth cigars. I don't have anything to read to you from Cigars International because these do not come from Cigars International.
But they're good.
They're good. I do need to look periodically. I'll look to see if they're able to be bought. Last time I checked, they weren't because they sell them. It was going to Grand Cayman on a Carnival cruise or any other cruise, and I could walk straight to the shop.
Right, right. Yeah.
But they were selling them as fast as he's over there rolling them, so they probably don't need to sell them online.
How was they getting them through customs? Did they care?
Because, well, things have changed now, but even along my early cruises, There wasn't a stop custom on cigars. It was just Cuban things because we had that issue with Cuba specifically. So, you know, these are coming out of Caymans, which, you know, it's British property, so not an issue. It was fine. Didn't even have to hide them or nothing. Just like, well, whatever. The only time that I ever did anything shady, they didn't even ask, is I bought some legitimate Cuban cigars in Mexico. And so I didn't know if they were going to like hit on or not, because even though I bought them in Mexico, they came from Cuba.
Yeah.
And all they did, I took the wrappers off and everything and tried to lie and say I brought them with me, because I mean, I brought cigars with me too.
Yeah.
And they're like, where'd you buy them? And I was like, Cosmo, like, oh, you're fine. So they don't care about the product. They just don't want, they didn't want Cuba getting money because of our trade issues. That's all they really cared about.
So they don't really care about the cigars themselves. It's the,
it was the tariff issues and export import issues.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah,
it was because we had no imports from Cuba.
Gotcha.
Period.
Gotcha.
It's just, this is the only product that you couldn't just get or make in America or, you know, China or elsewhere. So
makes sense.
Makes sense.
Whatever.
You know, politics are stupid.
Yeah.
Which is a perfect accidental segue into what we didn't get to finish talking about last time.
Oh, yeah. Tell the people what you found out.
Oh, buddy.
So, those that...
Yeah, refresh.
Those that haven't listened to the podcast or have, I will remind you, I brought up a point about energy drinks, and we started talking about Bang energy drinks and how they're being sued by Monster for, like, some whopping 200-something million dollars.
It's a lot.
And honestly, at the time, I didn't really understand why. I just thought it was funny because it's just like two energy drink companies competing against each other, and it seems like one of them's mad at the other, so they're suing them.
We looked up why. Our little pea brains, trying to figure out why this one lawsuit is so expensive.
And such a big deal.
Such a big deal. Let's take you back to 2009. So, very quick search. This took like 5 minutes to figure out. So, the lawsuit that he's referencing finally closed just... the story came. I didn't go as far as look at the exact date, but it closed in September. Monster won $293 million against Bang Energy for false advertising. Now, I'm going to get excited and talk and let my cigar go out. That would be a bad day. The reason that's so high and the reason it was such a banger...
Ha!
I did not mean to do
funny.
That's funny. You ever make a pun in the moment you say it, you're like, yeah, oh, damn.
Yeah, that was good.
I wish I could say I planned that. Damn. Anyway.
Oh, goodness.
Cracked myself up. Anyway, so the reason it was such a big deal is because back in 2009, when this started, they had another issue for copyright infringement. So Bang Energy is actually owned a company by the name of Vital, V-I-T-A-L. Back in 2009, when they were kind of up and coming, the Bang Energy profile, Monster sued them for for trademark and copyright infringement. Took about 30 seconds to figure out why. Any of y'all ever drink? Think grocery store, but get out of energy drink mindset for a minute. The like tangerine, orange powdered mixes. Think you had like an orangutan or a monkey or a gorilla or something on the front.
Mm-hmm.
Just real like this orange drink that was like super Kool-Aid with a bite. Fantastic. Well, Monster apparently is the same company. So they sued Vital for selling Bang drinks because they already owned a drink brand by the name of Bang. So they're then, I think it settled in 2010 for $175 million then. And the solution was, this is how cheesy and petty this is about to get. The solution was that Bang could continue selling their drinks with the name Bang only for creatine-based drinks. Words are quoted for a reason. Creatine-based drinks. Everything's been fine, hunky-dory. Well, you know, like we kind of referenced in the last video, everybody's competing for space. Everybody's competing for advertising ability. They're trying to be a little bit better than the other guy. So they coined the term super creatine.
Which, from the very start, I knew drinking it, there's no such thing as super creatine.
Right. It's just creatine.
It's just creatine.
You can have more creatine. You can have a different type of creatine, like, I'm going to screw this word up, monohydrate or...
Yeah. I can't remember.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it's creatine. What's this thing? It's super creatine. Like, Superman didn't make his better with kryptonite. It's just creatine. So, anyway, that was the allowance that was made under that agreement and that settlement. So, fast forward to the last few years. They gave Monster an out because, oh, I left that apart. They were able to sell super creatine-based drinks. Sorry, creatine-based drinks, but only in, I think what they coined the term, expected venues like gyms and health stores and fitness centers, stuff where you
expect. So like not gas stations.
Not gas stations, yeah. Not, you know, not Walmart. Places that you would expect to see energy drinks.
So in order to get into gas stations, they came up with super creatine.
To one up and
sell more products.
Sell more products. Monster said, aha, we didn't tell you you could use super creatine-based drinks. We told you you could only use creatine-based drinks. You have now violated our settlement. So now they came back and hit them with this second lawsuit for false advertisement, piggybacking off of a violation of their settlement from their copyright infringement due to the word super.
Yeah.
And the wording on this was so weird, but basically it didn't necessarily as much as say that Monster won because they were so correct in their findings. It was more along the fact that, like, Monster has a point, and Vital, who owns Bang, doesn't have enough to disprove it, because yeah, they are the ones that... I'm going to move your water. I was like, you just went in the shadows.
Sorry.
That's where the big-ass light is.
Yeah.
So, basically, they didn't have enough to disprove Monster's claims because they did change the terminology. And conveniently for Monster, they changed the only part that Monster made them say that they had to abide with. So, it's petty. But, you know, they're competing for space, so... do what you do, I guess. It's retarded.
What, that was a 13-year long issue between these two companies?
So $175 million lawsuit that was upheld in 2009-2010 for the copyright and trademark infringement. And now another $293, and they use the word Monster is to receive in damages to their company name based on this false advertising claim.
It's almost $500 million that they're about to make.
For the word super.
Yeah, because the article I originally saw was that Bang is on the verge of bankruptcy because of it.
And that's what made me go look. And there was something I read... And I tried to find that out because it says that all it says right now is that Bang Energy is not going out of business, but they did have to file for protection under Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So they did file for bankruptcy, but from an IRS legal state, but they're not yet able to go out of business yet. But if they get another lawsuit for Monster like this, it may not... it may go to Chapter 13 trash can.
And you know, with these energy drinks, like I said, I drink them, so it is what it is. But the only thing you know for sure that's in these energy drinks is the caffeine content. That's 300 milligrams, okay?
Right.
So when it says it has creatine or super creatine, and it also is supposed to have beta-alanine in it, how much is actually in it? And I've watched a couple videos of guys doing an experiment on it, and it's like not much at all. It's like little.
Yeah.
If any. And so it's like, what else is in the drinks?
And anyone that you see with that proprietary blend,
you really don't know what's in it. Well, that's just pre-workout in general.
Well, there's some that'll actually say, you know, it'll list, and it's pretty accurate. And if you see the word proprietary,
that's their
scapegoat. That means, like, hey, we're not saying that this is actually food-related, so FDA, we don't need you. They get the bypass, and you're back to not really knowing what's in it.
And not only that, with the proprietary blend, as a consumer, you don't know exactly how much and what's in it that you're buying.
Mm-mm.
So you're better off.
Doesn't it have the total of the whole blend?
It has the total weight of the whole blend. So like not it'll tell you
in the blend.
It'll tell you it has caffeine, it has beta alanine, and it has creatine. It'll tell you all that, and it's proprietary blend, but you don't know how much.
Yep, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, which is why it's always good whenever you do go get a pre workout. You know, if you go to the gym and stuff like that, to get one that you know each scoop what's in it.
Right.
You know, so.
Which, I lean more towards your expertise on that, because I usually drink the non-stimulant stuff, so.
Yeah. I told you about the one that I just got.
Yeah.
Dude, this.
What do you say?
You can take two scoops if you want, but most people are going to take one.
Yeah, because just the one was already ungodly.
Let me pull. Oh, my phone's going to overheat. Oh, my. The heater's gonna. iPhone needs to cool down before you can use it. Whoopsies. Never mind. I'm not gonna pull it up.
Wasn't it like 3.2 it was, per so, scoop or something?
No. Yeah. So one scoop was 3.2 grams of beta-alanine, which 3.2 grams is honestly a good. That's a good bit for right. beta-alanine. And then the caffeine content was only like 250, I think. Maybe 230, 220, something like that.
Right.
And it's either like 2.5 or 5 milligrams of beta or creatine per scoop. So when you double it, you can take two scoops if you want to.
Right.
When you double it, that's what, 6.4 grams of beta alanine.
Hey, good job. You did math.
Dude, I'd be itching.
That's a lot.
I'm honestly kind of wanting to do two scoops one day just to see what it does. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow for like a chest and back day.
Let me ask you a question. How do you drink your pre-workout? Like, you put it in a shaker, you put it in a glass?
I just put it in a glass of water, stir it up, and drink it.
About how much water? There's a reason I'm asking, I'll tell you.
It, like, the label will recommend, like, 4 to 6 ounces, usually. Honestly, I don't even know. I literally just get a glass cup, and I just, like, fill it up halfway. So I guess probably maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 ounces. And I stir it up and drink it. I don't really care about how much water's in there. I just want enough to be able to stir it up and drink it.
Because I got a couple friends, one in particular I've been hitting on pretty hard because finally getting them to actually even use water.
Uh-huh. So I got a story about that. Look,
I was like,
you people out there that are dry scooping your pre-workout, you're going to die one day because I almost did.
What did I tell you? What did I tell you?
Look, so when I was in college, okay, I dry scooped a pre-workout. Took it to the dome. I'd done it multiple times before and didn't have any issues.
Right.
My problem was when I took it to the dome, well, I think I breathed in air at the same time. Dude, all that pre-work, I literally was looking at myself in the mirror and I was like, I'm going to die. Like, I was going to watch myself choke to death on this pre-workout. And since that day, I've never dry scooped pre-workout ever again.
So, there's two main things that I've heard of. I've never done it because I heard the warnings early is one.
Don't do it.
You can breathe the stuff.
Yes.
And it's super concentrated and this is not meant to be in powder form in your lungs, even by accident. And two, your cheek membranes are super absorbent. So you're not, that stuff is designed, the reason you drink it with water is it's designed to be soluble to a point to get in your stomach
and to be time released in the way that they... Which is why they tell you some pre-workouts are 15 minutes, most are going to be around your 30-minute mark.
Right. But you put it in your cheek line, you're going straight to your bloodstream.
Yes.
And now your cardiac rhythm is about to shoot through the roof.
I know it's a cool trend out there, a lot of people do it, but me personally... I would never do it again. I just not going to.
It's a conversation. This is not the person I'm talking about at the moment. She'll know. I probably won't, because I already know she watches these. I probably won't even have to tell her about this. She's probably going to text me like, hey, dude, you called me out. I'm going to test it there. I'm not going to tell her. Let's see if she hears about it.
Yeah, man.
Told you it's going to kill you. But there's another thing that we know.
Hand experience.
I won't say his real name. We lovingly called him Kyle.
Okay.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That I had this conversation with about a year or two ago because he was just dry scooping. I hope he finally stopped it. I don't know. I haven't talked to him about it in a while. I probably should. But
yeah.
I'm curious now to see if who I'm really thinking about sends me a message like, hey, you asked? You called me out.
Yeah,
yes, I did.
Yes,
I did.
Nope, since that day, and that's been some years now, I've not dry scooped pre-workout. I'm afraid to, honestly.
It's too much. It's intense.
Yeah.
I've never done it because I've seen, I mean, even just the amount of taken by design workout, pre-workout that you take is really meant for the intensity level and the high workout that, you know, Olympians do or high level athletes do. You know, you're putting out a lot of energy to burn that off. If you're not doing that to begin with, even taking it by design is too much. And now you just freaking shotgun it into your stream, into your bloodstream.
Woo. You know what's crazy too? Some people will, they are extreme. Some people will dry scoop a pre-workout to the dome and down it with an energy drink. And then they'll drink an energy drink through their workout. I'm like, bro, how is your heart not going to explode?
I don't even know if I have any proper, I don't even have a proper, appropriate response. Idiots.
I don't know, man.
I don't, hate me if you want to. That's just, you're going to look good now, feel good now, die young. So, hey, whatever.
So, going back to energy drinks, I used to drink them almost every night working. Literally, sometimes two a night, just depending on the night. Right. You know? Well, I will call him a friend of mine. A friend of mine, he had just had a baby, okay? And, well, he started having, like, this heart problem. Now, he was a lot like me. He, dude, the dude literally would wake up, drink a cup of coffee. Then he would take his pre-workout. Then he'd go to the gym. And then while working, he would drink probably 2 energy drinks a day.
Jesus.
So he had all, like, 1,000 milligrams of caffeine probably. And I think it finally caught up to him to where, like, he started having, like, really weird, like, heart problems. And, like, now that he's had a baby, he's like, I'm not drinking another one again. I saw him the other day, and he's like, yeah, I'm, like, 3 weeks sober. What, from energy drinks?
That's crazy that you feel that you're sober.
It's funny, man. But I'm not going to lie. When I was in college and I drank a lot of them, I had a scare one time. As far as, like, my heart just started feeling really weird from drinking them all the time.
And see, there's...
And I did stop for a little bit.
I know, and we could get in a whole big conversation, and neither one of us know enough to really dive into this, but there's a lot of conversation to be had about, like, the taurines and the niacin of the world. Like, both have a place in your body, but not to the level that's in those drinks.
Yeah.
And, you know, you could take that, you know, with pretty much anything else.
When it really comes down to it, like, especially working out-wise, what I've learned in the years, just, like, either watching, like, actual professional bodybuilders or nutritionists and things like that, like, what these products are is what they are. They're supplements. They supplement your diet.
Right.
You can really get away with not taking any of this and just sticking to natural foods.
You can.
Natural foods that have caffeine in it.
Right.
To get you going. You know, and same thing like a post-workout, you know, everybody drinks protein shakes. I do. It's not bad for you or anything like that, but it is what it is. It's a supplement.
It's a supplement.
But there is absolutely nothing wrong with when you get done working out to go straight to whatever and eating chicken rice.
It's like we're the microwave generation. So
oh yeah, absolutely.
It's everything. We want it faster.
So everything like is protein everything, shakes.
Yeah. You can go eat a proper balanced meal and get your aminos and your proteins back into your diet, or you can just chug a shake and be done.
Yeah, because I mean, a protein shake it is great as far as a quick fix. Because I mean, you got to think most protein shakes are going to have 25-30 grams of protein.
My primary roommate while I was in the Marine Corps. Used to tell me that if they ever came out with a drink that he could drink to get all of his daily nutrients in one shot just so he didn't have to stop and waste time to eat.
Really?
Had nothing.
See, I love food.
I do too.
I love a good...
I want the enjoyment of the meal.
I love a good steak. I love a good potato. I like broccoli. Like, those are all great things for your body that not enough people eat anymore.
100%. It still tastes good.
I mean... I think that's where people, especially that are new in the health and fitness industry, is that they look at everybody taking all these supplements, and it's like, that's the thing that I need to do.
Right.
And it's like, it's not necessarily the case, you know. As long as I've taken things, I used to take a whole stack of things, and now I'm just like, I'm down to 2 things. I take a pre-workout, and I drink protein shake.
You take what you need to take.
Yeah.
So here's a... Because we could spend hours on complaining about energy drinks, I think.
But yet, I still drink.
So, if we're talking about the fitness world and athletes, if you think that these lawsuits are the dumbest thing in the athlete industry world, Tom Brady has taken that role up. And by the time y'all see this video, none of this is going to be a surprise. This is not breaking news because we don't record this live. It's going to be a few days late.
Yeah.
But the dumb crap that that man has said lately.
Dude,
If you didn't think anybody could hate Tom Brady more than they used to.
I'm not going to lie. When I saw what he said about the whole military thing, I've never been in the military, and I know you have.
God,
but I came from a military family, so I know what it's like. For him to say what he said as far as traveling for an away football game is like leaving for the military, are you kidding me, dude? Are you kidding me? Because I'm pretty sure you don't go live in a foxhole for weeks at a time or are under fire or have to worry about the Taliban coming to kill you.
Right. You travel, sure. You have your cell phone. You're in a nice hotel.
You live in five-star hotels at that. You're Tom Brady, bro. You get what you want. You literally get what you want.
And let's not even start the conversation of pay variances here.
Yeah.
We're not even getting on
and
that.
And then you get to wake up. I mean, you get a massage if you want to. You get butlered. You get driven to the freaking field. You got whatever trainers you want, there that take care of you. You show up. You get paid millions of dollars to play a football game. And then you go home at the end of the day.
Right.
On a private jet.
But it's horrible.
It's like leaving for the military.
Football season is like unemployment.
Oh, gosh. And then, not to talk about the fact that he came out of retirement, okay?
I know where this is going.
Dude, okay. So, what does he have to prove, honestly? And I know we're like halfway through the football season.
So, we've had this conversation before, and I can tell you what he had, past tense, had to prove is in last season.
Yes, because he proved it though.
Yeah, so if you're not a football fan, I won't get into this because this would take you like 3 seconds on Google to get all these answers because this is everywhere. I understood why you wanted to leave and go do one more Super Bowl because whether you like the guy or hate him, he's been known to be one of the best quarterbacks on paper. I get it. But everybody said, hey, you're just that good because you got Bill Belichick, mm-hmm. who's an amazing coach. You can't dispute it. He's like, well, I need to get out from the shadow and go win one better. On my own. I get that. You proved it.
Look at Belichick now. What are they this year?
Right.
Not doing good. I don't think they have a winning record.
He's a good coach, but he just doesn't have a solid...
He doesn't have Tom Brady now.
Right. So, I get why he said that he had to prove that. Fully with it. You want to get out from under Bill Belichick and say, hey, I'm still this good. Cool deal, bro.
Yeah.
Got you. But, what now?
I don't know.
And... Like you said, he pretty much, you know, you not going to dive into this personal man's life to a point other than what he's done that to himself. My Google phone throws up a Tom Brady story like every other day.
Yeah.
But you pretty much put your life in turmoil and put all this pressure.
His marriage is ruined now.
And your life is in shambles, unfortunately. Yeah. I feel sorry for him on that aspect. I really do. Whether you hate him or not.
I feel more for his wife.
I do. The situation in general, it just
because
sucks.
And the people that back Tom Brady over the situation, I probably see your point, but I feel more for her because it's like she gave up her modeling career for him,
right,
to stay home with the kids so he could go and succeed and do what he did.
And how many times has he said like, hey, this is going to be it, and you just like,
and so when he
screw your opinion, I'm going to go back and play
exactly,
something. And then to do that. And to, you know, his record this year, and this is the funny part, is you throw all that away, and you can't even beat a team that's using an XFL quarterback. Nothing against the dude, and I'm not going to throw his name. Nothing against dude. Like, this is the Panthers. Like, nothing against him. Good on you. You came over. You playing ball. But, you know, Tom Brady's literally playing football as long as there's people in the league that have been alive.
Yeah.
Like, I think...
He's still going to go down as one of the greatest quarterbacks.
He is.
I'm not a Tom Brady hater. I don't know what y'all are going to think about this. I'm actually a Tom Brady fan. I am. I like the dude. I like him playing football.
I like Tom Brady the quarterback.
Yes.
I don't have much respect for Tom Brady the man.
I think he is a very great, intelligent quarterback. But... then I kind of start looking at his personal life, which really I'm not in the middle of it, not trying to knock the dude for it, but it kind of makes you view him differently because of it too. But I mean, that's what happens when you're a superstar and you're in the media is in the middle of your life. Everybody knows what's happening with your life. So it's like,
you got to accept that at a,
yeah. So it's like, well, your career. I mean, it is what it is, man. I don't know.
I feel sorry for the family, though. I really do.
Yeah, because it's in the grand scheme of things, because I'm a big family guy.
Right.
Big family guy. Like, I'd do anything for my family. And I would, if I told them I was done with something, that way I could spend more time with my family.
You need to be done
with it. And you need to be done with it. And you don't need to come back later on and go, oh, no, I'm actually going to come out of retirement. Why? What do you have to prove now, man?
Yeah, it's a tough one. But anyway, since we're on the thought processes of the athlete world, figured we'd toss that in there. But
that was only because I saw a post today about him.
Yeah. Well, I posted up on Facebook the other day, and if I'll throw this one up here for sure. I'll throw a little shade and be toxic for 2 seconds. I put this up. I don't know where it originated from, but on the Tom Brady to deployment comparison. For those of you that aren't prior military, a 2 second explanation. Most units, if not all, have a family readiness officer whose sole purpose is either they were prior military or they were a spouse of, or somebody normally that knows enough about the deployment transition process to be able to support the families of the one left behind while their significant other is deployed. It's a support system. So after he made all these comments, pictures started going around of Tom Brady, and of course it's a doctored image.
I have seen that one
of him senior Marine that says family readiness officer. It's glorious. And so once that went up, this dude started getting, and I don't know who started it. I saw it, I grabbed it and reshared it, but people are like blowing his social profiles up. That's fine. Got the other one.
Said bye bye.
And this is why I have an audio backup, because my primary audio source is like, hey, y'all are talking too long, I'm done, and it just turned off. That's cool. That's why I have a backup for that too. So anyway, but that just completely threw my track off. But anyway, so I don't know where it started, but people started putting his social media profiles on, like, as if he actually was a Marine. They started, like, slandering him for, like, I'm coming for field inspections. Oh, like, your hair's too long.
He's never going to live that one down.
He's never going to live that one down.
When you start comparing things like that to the military, especially for people who have literally fought and bled for this country, I mean, that's just the uttermost disrespect to those guys.
Right.
100%.
You fought and bled for my 2-hour entertainment on Sunday.
Yeah.
He fought and bled for you to have the ability to play this game.
You really didn't fight and bleed because people throw flags whenever you get touched. Oh, yeah. So
they literally changed rules. Because I.E. Tuck rule.
Half the time you can't even freaking touch the quarterback.
Anyway. We could probably have a whole episode.
Oh, I could probably talk about this forever. Not only just that, just the whole military aspect in general.
Yeah. So, whenever we meet up with Woot, we'll have some military stuff, because that man, I don't know what he will say or if he will say. Some stuff I've been told privately. Dude's got some stories, some very fucked up stories, as well as entertaining ones. So, I will not say anything that he does not want me to say, but I will, I'm sure we can have a good conversation with him on some things. Dude's funny. He's also a little effed up. That's why I like him. But, you know, he's been through it.
Who isn't, though?
I mean, been through it. But, you know what? I think it's been a good day.
It's been a good show.
Real good show. I can't say good day yet, because we're going to turn this off, and guess what? As we said before,
we still got smokes to finish.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So, thank y'all for dealing with the shadows and the light. I've got lights everywhere.
Eventually, we'll get this perfect.
Well,
it's probably going to take
weren't recording this at 12:30 in the middle of the night, it'd be easier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've got, you can't see this, but I've got floodlight here, floodlight over there, floodlight over here, a backlight over here. I'm trying to get rid of the shadows. The downside of that is we're creating our own shadows in front of us now. But you know what? When the middle of the night is when we're free to do stuff, it is what it is. So, you know,
We don't see the daylight often.
Usually sleep there. We're night shifters.
Yeah. So it's kind of 12 o'clock in the afternoon for us.
It is. I'm usually about an hour away from attempting to slow down and eat lunch. Doesn't necessarily I'm going to get to eat lunch.
Yeah.
I'm going to attempt to eat lunch.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Our jobs are both pretty busy, but, you know, he's right. It's lunchtime for us, so. But anyway, hope you enjoyed the show.
If not, we'll still be here.
Love it. We're not going anywhere. feel free. If you do like it, if you like the way that we've done this style, this is the third one in.
Yeah. Give it a thumbs up.
I do think it's kind of good. We're going to start grabbing somebody every once in a while. Like I said, me and him will be the primary because it's kind of our little love child here. Now that we've redone it this way, I kind of like it. It's more conversation style, which was the point.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If y'all like that as well, feel free to subscribe to the channel. Share it.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Tell your family.
So
your brothers and your sisters.
If you're like me and you just like to, all jokes aside, if you just like to listen to a couple dudes just talk about some random crap, which for some reason I do, which is why I'll still post the link to three other shows that I listen to. It's either three or four. I forget what I've got linked on there, but couple shows that I listen to, feel free to go do that because they're pretty cool too. No sponsorships, don't know them personally, just other than throwing some comments on YouTube, I got no connection to them, but just some pretty good shows. So
that's what we need. We need to get sponsored.
We'll work on that. But good stuff, man. So thank y'all for hanging out, listening, watching, depending on what platform you're on. Again, Pat, Johnny Bravo, and glad you hung out with us.
Yeah.
Listen to us talk about some lawsuits and football trash.
Yeah.
And see y'all next time. Till then, stay safe, fam.
Peace.
Word. And cut.